You are listening to Real World News.
Companies and Ugandan government together in the oil palm business. A new research by Friends of the Earth International exposes the role of Wilmar and Bidco corporations in a palm oil project being developed in Kalangala on Bugala Island in Lake Victoria. The project is part of a government program supported by the International Fund for Agricultural Development, a UN agency, and the World Bank. About 3,600 hectares of forest have already been destroyed, affecting the environment and local livelihoods. Bidco did not buy land directly from communities. The government bought lands for the companies, so it is very much involved, said David Kuriba, Friends of the Earth Uganda campaigner and project officer Forest and Biodiversity at the National Association of Professional Environmentalists. There is a double effect producing these land grabs. First, the governments involved want to expand their domestic production of food crops and crops for fuel. The government is looking at increasing the GDP, thinking it will benefit the communities when it actually benefits the corporations. Besides, agribusiness aims to expand its operations and profits by producing more cheaply and rapidly. Other drivers of land grabbing are certain types of environmental conservation projects, such as reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation in developing countries, RED, which create carbon credits from plantations, giving rise to green grabbing. For instance, since plantations are included in the definition of forests, forested land is replaced by tree plantations aimed at generating carbon credits for companies. This has many serious consequences, such as the displacement of populations, which affects local customs and cultures, and leads to land conflicts and destruction of biodiversity. This is a result of deforestation or the cultivation of exotic species, which causes food insecurity through the reduction of local food supply, leading to a rise in prices. There are also health problems, exposure to agrochemicals, increase of prostitution in Kalangala due to the influx of migrants, and rise of HIV/AIDS infection. Local communities were neither informed nor consulted about the palm oil project, and the national judiciary fails to take action. Many of these projects are government projects, so seeking justice may not be possible. Some small farmers were forced to sell their land after planting palm oil because they were not able to pay for the fertilizer and other inputs needed. With no income from the oil palm and no land for growing food, they had little option but to sell. Some of the main consequences of all this have been economic and food insecurity, lack of access to energy, casual and low-paid works, mainly occupied by men. The government's answers to these effects that they are creating employment, but the majority of the people that are working in the plantations are not from Kalangala. Wilmar International is mainly funded with shareholders' money, bank loans, and short-term trade finance from Europe and the US, so northern countries must consider their own responsibility in land grabbing, which strongly affects developing countries.
Hi David, thank you for accepting to answer my question. You are currently in Uganda, so can you explain briefly this oil palm project in Kalangala and its main consequences on local population?
Thank you very much. Oil palm project is a project that is being done by Bidco, and Bidco got a concession from government for close to 50 years. It is so far planted close to 10,000 hectares and a lot of forest close to 360,000 hectares of forest have been lost. Initially, this is a tourist area, and because of biodiversity loss, it is said and the communities say that the levels of income are coming down because few are visiting the island. Apart from those few who go to see what is happening and how the place has been destroyed by by oil palm. Two, in the plantations, there is a lot of agrochemicals that are used. And those chemicals, when it rains, they are washed and find their way into the water stream. And of course, this is a waterlogged area where communities largely do a lot of fishing. So it is alleged, it is not yet scientifically proven, but the fishermen attribute loss of fishes in the lake to the application of agrochemicals. So you will realize that there were kind of recreational grounds which were which actually children and old people used to pray where they used to pray from, as in praying ground, and some of them were planted with the oil palm. Then when you're talking about cattle, some of the areas where communities used to grow rear their animals, they have been planted with oil palm, and it is increasingly becoming very hard for communities to rear their animals. Then when you look at food sovereignty, the freedom of communities to grow food. Of course, some of the agrarian places that where communities used to grow food have been planted with oil palm, and it is a consequence. When we look at herb sites that used to be herbs that used to be picked from the forest, majority of the forest have been cut. And if you look at Uganda, 70% of the forests are privately owned. So that incentive is now out, where communities used to get herbs from the forests. Forests have been destroyed. Then the element of people being chased as a consequence of land grabbing. You know, initially when the project had just started, people were given input to grow the oil palm grass. So as a consequence, most of the some people failed to pay back the loan. They sold their land cheaply, but others were forcefully told to leave the land without any compensation. But even some people who it is said they are compensated, compensation was very, very inadequate, because you would find that people are being given 100,000. That is close to $40, yeah, around 40, and to us, that is a very, very big problem, especially when it comes to land grabbing.
Okay. And to what extent is the Ugandan government involved in this project, and what are its answers to the population's complaints?
This project, you see, BIDCO did not buy land directly from communities. Government of Uganda bought land for the company. So the government is very much involved. And even at the very inception of the project, World Bank was involved. It is alleged that it pulled out, but there is no proof of evidence to this effect. The government of Uganda, of course, it looks at it from economic growth. You know, economic growth does not take into account the social aspects of development. So the government is looking at increasing the GDP, the economic growth of the country, And of course, for them, they think the project will benefit communities, when actually it is benefiting the corporates.
Okay. And the right for land is recognized by the national constitution in Uganda, but what is the role of Ugandan justice?
You know, the constitution puts it very clear that land belongs to the people. But there is a clause that waters down this particular clause. Because when you look at Article 137, which says, and especially clause, it says land belongs to the people. But in the event that the government has a lucrative project which it intends to put, then people would be adequately compensated and leave the land. That means people don't have any right to their land. In as long as the government has interest, it will take it. Then the tenure system in Uganda is very complex. 80% of the people in Uganda, 80% of the land in Uganda is communally owned. That means the 20% is on privately owned land and a lease and then private. It means that the community people who have, some who have lived on land time immemorial, if they are evicted, they can't give any evidence. Of course, you know how communities live and the definition of a community. People with similar values are almost heading the same direction, but also sharing resources. The moment bulldozers destroy, it becomes very, very complex for them to prove. Justice, you're asking about the court justice. Justice in Uganda is not something that you can easily get, as long as the government is the one that is driving the process. Most of these projects are government projects. State house driven projects. So seeking justice may not be possible. You can seek even put an injunction, but the project continues and it will never be, it never stops. So court, getting justice in Uganda is not anything.
Okay, and have there been some community actions to face with the consequences of the oil palm projects?
Yeah, the communities themselves have written petitions in some areas where water quality has been tampered with. Communities have written petitions and forwarded them to the district, and even the district of Kalangala has had a discussion about this. in the event where a lot of the actual wastes that are generated from the boilers, when they are transporting the same processed products to Jinja, where they have their main factory, the stench is too much, and communities have petitioned the district to ensure that now the National Environmental Management Authority takes into account the article where people are supposed to live in a clean and safe environment. So they have been taking up some of these issues with government, but of course, like I earlier mentioned, issues to do with a government-driven or politically-driven projects, they are normally very hard when it comes to complaints. They don't respond to the complaints by communities when the big funder, the big person who puts in money, doesn't give some directives. So there is some kind of corporate capture where we are dancing to the tunes of the funders and investors.
Okay. And for you, what are the short-term solutions to stop or prevent these projects and its consequences? So,
One of the issues that we have been working on is largely the issue of land grabbing is something which communities themselves and the litigation part can work on. We strongly believe that once communities are empowered and they know what they want, communities can resist anything. So one of the strategies that probably we have been using is to ensure that we empower communities and they demand on their own. That is one weapon that we have been using, but also to train them largely on how they can go litigation. Because if they are engaged, if they demonstrate, if they write petition and nothing comes out, we think that they should attempt to seek justice from courts. That is true, courts are seeking justice. But also, we are looking at now how communities where the problem has not reached, because there are some places that have been planted, and it is like a policy that where oil palm has been planted, it cannot be removed. Instead, you are the one to move and leave it behind. So we are encouraging communities to see that before they go into expansion, they should see that part of it is planted with food. We are much more into food production.
Okay, and a last question to Hen. Can this problem be resolved at the international level by European or some political institutions?
We strongly believe that at some point we shall head for that, because now when you look at BIDCO, it is a company that is funded by Wilma and other international financial institutions. And they have obligations and they have that they must fulfill. So we strongly believe that if it cannot work here at international level, that's where probably some of these solutions can be gotten from. You have heard of 200 families in Vuma where oil palm project is being expanded, will eventually be homeless. People have been given money. They have invested their money into buying cars. That kind of excitement. You know, when you buy land from a poor person, there's no plan for the money, but what is the future? You are looking at short-term benefits to communities, but how about the long-term? Land is a fixed factor of production. You have taken land, you have given money. Money perishes in 1 week. Where are these people going to go? So it is an issue where even the member of parliament raised and he is seen as opposition and when he's from the ruling party. So those are some of the issues.
You are listening to Real World News.